Chapter 15. In what he often claimed was an homage to his father, Six Truvy was a confirmed and incorrigible gambler. He had learned to play the odds at an early age, and by 18 had left prosperous Coralag to embark on a career as a professional player. Where his father had bet on swoop races exclusively, Six was all over the board. And as he approached midlife, he would bet on just about anything. Pod races, chin bret matches, rounds of Laro, Pazak, .5, and Sabac. The roll of a Jubilee wheel ball or a cupful of dice, the weather, the population curve, or the fluctuating value of Salthea beans. Fortunes passed through his hands, slipped through his fingers. As fast as the credits rolled in, he would spend them. On wine, women, luxury hotel suites, suits of shimmer silk and chromosheath. More often, his spending outpaced his winnings, and in his wake he left a string of bad debts, splintered friendships, and broken hearts. For a brief period, the one constant in his life was a quirky YT-1300 freighter someone had named the Millennium Falcon, and others had seen fit to equip with a Class 1 hyperdrive, a Dejarik hologame table, and a dorsal-mounted laser cannon. But when you're the owner of a 55-year-old starship hosting as many retrofits as original parts, you had better be good with your hands. And Six simply wasn't. Except when it came to dealing cards, gathering winnings, or scrawling his name on markers. Six loved the Falcon, but she was slowly bleeding him dry. The hyperdrive one day, the droid brain the next, 100 little parts that needed to be tightened, torqued, repaired, or replaced. Even so, he'd never once given serious thought to selling the freighter or trading it in on a more customary vessel. At least until the Falcon broke down unexpectedly, causing him to miss out on a high-stakes Outlander match on Coruscant. Six realized he was in desperate need of a big score, one that would continue to finance not only the lifestyle to which he had grown accustomed, but also a complete overhaul of the credit pit the Millennium Falcon had become. So when a Rhodian told him that the Hutts were taking action on a one-of-a-kind contest, Six knew he wanted in before he knew the details.
"What's the game?"
he finally got around to asking the Rhodian.
"The contest,"
the Rhodian had emphasized.
"Between Imperial forces and a band of would-be insurgents at Yagdul, a standard month from now."
Just how the Hutts had gotten wind of the imminent showdown, Six would never learn. But according to the Rhodian and other gamblers in the know, the Empire had learned that the insurgents were constructing a space station at Yagdul, and had decided to make the installation the first target of a newly inaugurated Star Destroyer called the Desolator. The insurgents, however, had learned of the Empire's plans and were hoping to add the Desolator to their short list of victories. The Battle of Yavin wouldn't be fought for another 5 years, and the Empire thought of the insurgents as more of a nuisance than a real threat. Most actions had been limited to harassment by disaffected militia groups, widely scattered bands, and runs against supply convoys and Imperial installations. If the rebels had scored any significant victories, the news had been suppressed by the Empire-controlled Holonet. Though word on Narshada was, a nascent insurgent alliance was growing in numbers and in strength. The underground was rife with rumors of impending action at Wailicia, and of successful militia raids in a cluster of black holes known as the Maw, where the Empire was thought to be completing work on a massive warship 15 years in the making. The terms of the wager couldn't have been more straightforward. Clearly the Hutts had no faith in the insurgents' ability to destroy the Desolator, but neither would they allow themselves to be drawn into murky definitions of victory.